All right, we've all heard the apocalyptic predictions about Social Security, the national debt, and other major issues that are supposed to sink the economy. Do any of these predictions actually have merit in the years ahead? Well, on today's episode, we're going to try and separate sensationalism from reality. Are these apocalyptic predictions ever going to come true? Welcome back to the podcast. Janine Theus here with us. As always, I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Janine, it's your favorite subject today, apocalyptic predictions and dispelling myth and rumor from reality. I know you're pumped for this one.
I love that stuff.
Excellent. All right, so we've got a list of four or five apocalyptic predictions that have been made throughout the years, and we want to really analyze their impact, not so much on the world as a whole, but on the economy, on our finances, on our investments and portfolios. That's sort of our perspective with these questions. All right, you ready to jump in?
Yep.
All right, the first one directly relates to people's incomes, especially of retirement age. And it's the old prediction that, you know, Social Security is going broke. They're going to have to cut everybody's benefit in order to fix it. Sounds like the end of the world to a lot of people who rely heavily on Social Security. What do you really think of that prediction?
So it's been floating around for a long time because there is, if people were actually getting their physical statements and they, I think it's the second paragraph on the right side of your statement, which that's where it used to be, was this statement that the Social Security was going to change by 2033, 2035, because it's, they didn't quite use the word insolvent, but it because of reduced, they're going to reduce benefits potentially because they're going to be out of money. Well, first off, the trust fund disappeared a long time ago. It's basically the general fund. And Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare are 25% of the overall budget of things that we spend money on for the government, from the government. So it's not really disappearing. The problem is it's what the Congress and the government is willing. I mean, the debt on the obligation to pay Social Security is where we, you know, people are starting to get worried. And there is a prediction that they would start to decrease the benefit by about 25%, which is pretty significant since a lot of people do rely on Social Security for retirement, which it was never meant to be. But and the average payout is $1,200 a month. That's
so 25% cut would eat into a lot of people's financial situation big time.
It would definitely do that. So I just saw something the other day that there's a bill that they're pushing. Well, they're not pushing it, but they're trying to get it passed that they're going to stop taxation of Social Security benefits, but they're going to increase the wage base for those up to $250,000 a year. So they're just going to increase that. Well, they've been doing that, actually. I mean, most people are probably not aware of this. There was a long time when taxation on the wage base for taxation on earnings was fairly low. And about 5, 6, 7 years ago, they started increasing that wage base. So this year it's $160,200. So if you're making up to that, more of that is, it's going to Social Security instead of just 40 or 50,000 of your income going to taxable for Social Security. So is it going insolvent? No. And is it going away? No. Because it's basically all our money being pooled into that. But it is really up to Congress how they're going to spend this money and what they're going to do about it.
So they're going to make these cuts in other ways, shapes, and forms. It's just not going to be called a cut.
Exactly. You always have to watch the language.
So that one's sort of a yes. It is coming true. It's just not going to be in the form that the apocalyptic prediction makes it sound like.
That's right. So it's not going to go away. It's not going to be insolvent per se, because there are still revenues coming into the government. With the latest tax code and tax cuts, the government took in more revenue than ever before in these last few years. So what's really happening in D.C.?
You're right. Look there for your answers. All right. Well, this one that dovetails nicely into our next apocalyptic prediction, which is that the national debt is out of control and tax rates are going to go through the roof at some point. Are we going to go back to that 90% tax bracket at some point, Jenny?
Well, see, that's what's really interesting. If the government brought in more money than ever before based on the tax cuts, they did. They brought in, I think it was $3.25 trillion The problem is Congress is spending double that.
Yeah.
So
and that's why the national debt's just continuing to skyrocket.
But here's what's really interesting, because two-thirds of that debt is Treasury bills, bonds, and notes. That's, we own that. We, the American people, all own the debt in our, when you own Treasuries, bills, and bonds in your portfolios.
Okay.
So yes, China owns some of our debt. It's not nearly as apocalyptic as people predict or claim. It's about 6%. Japan actually owns more of our debt than China. And I don't think that it's, I think the real issue is deficit spending and then driving up the debt for stupid stuff. So I think okay. We can all agree there's a lot of stupid stuff in government spending. And that's part of the issue. But, you know, are we going to go bankrupt? Well, we really never gone truly bankrupt. And I don't think that countries are just going to go, well, you know, the dollar's not worth it anymore.
So you don't see this apocalyptic prediction as holding a whole lot of merit. That this is blown into a bigger deal than you think it is.
The bigger deal is, oh gosh, we're going to have to raise taxes. Well, maybe we just cut spending.
Yeah.
And reallocate resources because we have them. And when you actually, it's counterintuitive, when you cut taxes, the government actually gets more revenue because there's more investment in the economy. There's more investment in companies, which then pay taxes, which then grows the economy, et cetera, and the government's coffers. So it's counterintuitive, but that's actually what happens with the numbers. So yes, there's just a lot of scare tactics out there that, oh gosh, we're going to crash and burn. Now, yeah. You know, when we're servicing the debt, that's the problem. So the interest rate fluctuations are affecting our ability to service our debt. As long as we can service our debt, because we own it.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
It's a little better.
That's good. All right. Social Security, climate change is our next one here, Janine. We'll try to keep you on the rails, all right? I'm giving you a time limit of 90 seconds for this one.
Okay.
So climate change is a serious problem. This is the prediction. And that our economy, remember, this is all in the context of economy. Our economy needs to be overhauled in order to deal with it. So a little bit of an apocalyptic prediction there and saying we're going to have to make major adjustments to the economy in order to handle it.
I'm going to just state it. Climate change is a non-issue. It's being used to conflate what the government needs to operate. Are what people want to do to save us and save the planet. But climate change itself, the climate is always changing. If you look at historical records for weather, et cetera, it's always changing. It's on a cycle. You know, you see those memes where the sun is like this and you're a little dot down here. Please tell me how we are affecting that. So you are here in this dot. So the climate change is a non-issue and the economy does not need to be overhauled. With climate change, it does need to be overhauled. We need a budget. We haven't had a budget for years. That's part of it.
We've been seeing a lot happen on this front, right, with the EV news that's come out lately and some steps back, it sounds like, taken in that charge, in that regard. And the market's kind of pushing back a little bit here and there. So
yes,
it's interesting to watch.
There are a bunch of car dealerships that their EVs are not moving.
Yeah. And so, Hertz, I think it was, that said there were... We're not going to continue our EV fleet, at least for some time. And
yep.
Again,
and
steps
Ford
back.
Ford shut down. Yeah, Ford shut down their EV truck, their 150s.
That's right. The Lightning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You did a good job. You stayed right within that time limit. Good job. The climate change, that was in the books. All right. On to inflation. You know, roll this one into the talk with debt and security. Now, last year, we would have had maybe a different conversation here, but this is still a concern and a prediction among others that we're still going to deal with some runaway inflation and it's going to rock the economy for years to come. Is that a big concern or do you think we already kind of faced that wave and we're on the other side of it now?
Well, inflation comes when you have more dollars chasing too few goods. So if the whole supposed objective of raising interest rates was to constrict than the flow of dollars, because what did they do during the pandemic was just flood the economy with dollars.
Right.
So now we're constricting the supply and bringing that back in. I mean, we were supposed to be in a recession for the last 2 years and that didn't happen. So yes, you have some inflation. I do think that's going to step back.
Okay.
Because more things are, I mean, there's some evening out happening in the economy. So I don't think the inflation is going to be as bad. It's not going to be like during the Carter days when we had a misery index and mortgages were 13%. I don't think we're going there.
Okay. So that kind of answers maybe the next one a little bit too. Apocalyptic prediction that we're going to have these highest interest rates and they're going to grind the economy to a halt and crash the housing market because nobody's going to want to move when they've got a 3% interest rate on their current home. They don't want to trade that for 6, 7, 8 or more percent.
So that was the fear late middle last year.
And still didn't happen, did it?
Yeah, it didn't really happen to the degree that they were, you know, pontificating that it was going to happen. Because people still, I think what's happening is, you know, younger generations are not, because we've had low interest rates for, gosh, 25 years easily. It's really kind of a shock to see a 5 or 6 or 7% interest rate where if you look at the average over the last, I don't know, 100 years, the average is about 7%. It's not going to really affect the housing market because we're 4 million homes or residences short of in supply of the demand.
Yeah. So I think I saw we could double the amount of homes we have for sale and we would still be running a shortage traditionally.
And there's this thing happening at the southern border, which is going to create more people who want homes potentially.
We need more homes. Yeah, absolutely.
We do need more homes.
Yeah. You know, demand there is not lessening. It doesn't seem.
That's right.
All right. Well, very good. Those were a lot of different apocalyptic predictions. So what's the moral of the story here? It sounds like you think a lot of these things are overblown and not as big a deal as perhaps the media makes it out to be. So how can we turn that into making good financial decisions?
So great question, because I think what I caution people all the time is to question what the media is telling you, because the job of the media is to capture eyeballs and emotions. And it's really important to keep your emotions in check when you're reading sometime. I know that's hard. Just get a dartboard. You can throw those darts at things. But in general, you just have to realize it's their job to try to capture your attention and get you to do something that's probably not in your best interest.
Yeah.
So because on the other side of that trade, there's somebody waiting. And it's just really important to, you know, there are a lot of sources that can give you a better perspective on what's actually happening and, you know, historically what it really looks like. I mean, policies and regulations do make a difference, but in general, it's don't do any knee-jerk reactions or don't have any knee-jerk reactions to the constant barrage of disastrous news.
Yeah. Big time. And I think that's the key to having an advisor and somebody on your side of the fence who can help you navigate through your financial choices and prepare for retirement. It's all about getting that great advice and knowing that when to keep your emotions in check and when to you hear these apocalyptic predictions, they often will force you into action because those emotions start running out of control. And that's what we need to kind of resist. And having a proper planner and a strategy in front of you helps you prevent making those kinds of mistakes. And so if you're looking to work with somebody to help you improve your financial situation, you can set up a complimentary initial review with Janine Theus and the team at Theus Wealth Advisors. All you have to do to get in touch is call 443-718-6311, or you can go online to TheusWealthAdvisors.com. Contact info in the description of today's show so you can find it easily. Janine, thanks for walking us through this conversation and these apocalyptic predictions, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, great. Thanks, Walter.
All right, we'll see everybody next time right back here on Rockin' Retirement.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.